You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, have you ever stayed in an Airbnb?
Yes, I have.
What was the most recent one? I'm assuming not for a while.
I've only ever done it once.
How was it? Good,
it was
bad?
Fantastic. It was in a marina down in South Australia. Mm-hmm. Two floors.
Nice.
Ah, it was awesome.
Why did you leave?
Boats out the front. Why did I leave? That is a great question. I never should have.
So if you don't know Airbnb, it's a thing you can kind of rent out your spare room, and kind of people who are coming to visit will stay there as if your spare room is like a hotel type situation.
Yeah, I remember the person I was staying with at that Airbnb was a lot more switched on than I was, because I didn't realize, obviously, people put in sometimes cameras and things so they can make sure that their home is being well looked after.
Okay.
Are you aware of this?
No.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
It's not good. I'm not sure what the T's and C's of the Airbnb is, but it's also worth mentioning that Airbnb is the largest, the largest owners of real estate without owning any real estate.
Okay.
Because
that seems, I don't want to, suggest Airbnb doing anything illegal, but that seems like a way out of tax.
Well, it's same thing with Uber. They have the most vehicle-operated business in the world and don't own any vehicles. It's the way of the future, Jordan.
Well, Simo, Airbnb can now add to one more room that they own but at the same time don't own.
Yeah.
Because a couple of people in the UK have decided, as a little bit of a joke, they would set up the world's worst Airbnb.
Okay.
And people are actually flocking to go and stay at this Airbnb. And for the life of me, I can't work out why.
Where is it?
So it's in London. Okay. Well, just out of London, actually.
All right.
So the Airbnb consists of a blow-up air mattress.
Nice.
Beside a table in the middle of a field.
Okay.
So you're not even indoors.
All right.
You're under a tree.
Mm.
And on that bedside table, there is a lamp and you get two glasses of water. And that is it. You're literally on an air mattress in the middle of a field in London where they're going into winter, so it's going to be quite cold.
Bit chilly.
Mm. And to make all matters worse, all the quote-unquote furniture in the Airbnb...
Oh, nice.
...has been sourced on for free on Facebook Marketplace.
Awesome.
So I'm not sure if we can necessarily detest their quality.
So have the Instagram influencers already started asking for a free accommodation if they endorse the location?
Well, I was trying to look for how much it costs, like the price of how much it costs to stay at this Airbnb. And I think I didn't realize you could do this. I think it might just be maybe the European version of Airbnb.
Okay.
There's no price listed. Like if you go to stay there, you offer a price and then they say, okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The people behind this have said they've got a lot of people interested. They haven't disclosed how much people are paying.
Okay.
So believe that what you will.
A couple of dollars and a bottle of Coke, you reckon?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, seriously, if people are going to, like, travel all the way to London to stay in this Airbnb, I would like to meet those very people. Because in my bag outside, I have a jar of magic beans.
Oh, yeah?
That if you plant will grow into a giant beanstalk.
Fantastic.
And I would like to sell them.
Really?
And I will let them decide how much they pay for it.
I'm more interested in how did you end up with those, Jordan? Did you make a bad deal involving three cows?
Look.
How did you end up with them?
Look, I'd prefer to not go into that.
Simo and Jordan.
And I've smashed my phone to absolute bits, Jordan.
Oh, have you?
Well, it's not to absolute bits just yet, but I got a couple of nice light cracks across the screen.
And I noticed yesterday, actually, it's weird that you bring this up, because I noticed yesterday all of a sudden a crack appeared on my screen as well.
Right.
Not the actual screen, the hover, the protector, whatever it is.
Okay.
It's on top.
Yeah.
So I could replace that or just live with it. I know which one I'm going to do.
Yeah, living with it often takes the first place and first course of action.
Yes.
Until you can no longer deal with it.
Exactly. Well, how bad is your phone? Is it still usable?
It's cracking by the day.
Okay.
Like an egg.
Oh, gee, look. I just saw the back of it. Jeez.
Thankfully,
did you put it through the washing machine or something?
I just dropped it in dumb spots, but the...
Did you drop it in the washing machine and then turned it on?
Take that. That'll teach you. Yeah. A man has been shocked to discover a note seemingly attached to a broken phone. So, broken phone's been handed into a repair shop.
Okay.
But as he has removed said back of the mobile phone, the Phone technician? What do they call themselves?
Yeah, phone technician, we'll go with that.
Repairers? Phone wizards? They're called geniuses in an Apple bar, right?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that you go into the Apple shop and they've got a little name tag that says genius, yeah, so...
If there's one thing you don't want coming after you...
Well, it's... Geniuses.
Because they'll figure out a way to get you. So
I know, I'm being attacked by their blue shirts.
I'm sure. No, they'll come up with a plan.
I know.
They'd take weeks just to make sure that it was perfect, the kind of vengeance that they would take.
Mm.
Anyway. So
you've thought a lot about being attacked by Apple staff. If you just pay your bill, this doesn't happen.
So the unusual reports come with a bribe attached to the back of the phone when the technician opened up the device.
So wait, so hang on. So this isn't your phone. This is another phone that's kind of
correct.
Made headlines.
That's right, yeah.
And it got handed in to be repaired and there was a note which turned out to be a bribe? Is that right?
Yeah, so there was a bribe inside the phone.
Okay.
For the repairman
to do what? To fix it? Because you don't need to bribe. You just pay them and then they do that. You don't need a bribe for that.
Okay, so the note says, please tell my wife the phone is unfixable. She wants to check the call history.
$100
is yours. So there was a note in the back of the phone alongside good old pineapple greenback there. So
right.
Ready and willing to be taken.
Okay, so the phone technician has opened it, seen the note that says, just say it's unfixable and then $100 is yours.
Mm.
Do we know how much the phone technician would have got for fixing the phone anyway? Because maybe he would have got $150 for fixing the phone and all of a sudden he's like, oh, well, I'm making a financial loss if I lie.
Well, all they're doing now is haggling over price. So if he was a distasteful, distrustful phone technician, he comes back to the table with the unfixed phone and says to the wife that this is going to cost about $300 to fix.
Okay.
and then if he can get hold of said gentleman, then you say, well, you know, she's going to pay $300 for it, so I can't really help you, mate.
I feel the wife is going to get suspicious if the husband and phone technician just keep passing the phone back and forth, writing a little note on it, then passing it back.
Haggling.
And then just, no, crossing that out. I'm going to put $200 and just passing it back.
This is really odd.
The Wi-Fi. This isn't how it normally works when you come and, you know, fix your phone.
Yeah, no, he'd have to ask for an invoice and then be like,
yeah,
I'll just sign this for you, mate.
So do we have any, what did this phone technician do? Do we know, did he take the $100 and lie or was he honest?
We do know what he's done, but first of all, I want to check with you. What are you doing?
Take the $100.
Take the $100 and fix the phone and give it back?
Oh, do both. That's evil.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. No, I just take the $100 because then I can put my feet up and I wouldn't actually have to fix the phone.
But you are inadvertently getting involved there.
Yes, you've raised a good point.
You are facilitating
it. You've thought about it a lot more than me.
Yeah.
So
what this phone technician did, he wiped his hands of the whole thing, told the woman that I cannot fix this phone. However, I also found this in your phone that you have provided to me to fix.
Okay.
Obviously, it's your husband's phone. This note is in here.
So he came completely clean.
Came completely clean and said, I don't want anything to do with it.
Okay. Did he keep the $100 as well, or did he hand back the note to the wife and just the $100 was scratched out?
My honesty will cost this much.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, Christmas, it is coming up a lot sooner than you think.
Yeah.
I know that Halloween is on this weekend, but before you know it, Christmas will be upon us.
Well, unlike some people here, I booked my leave far in advance.
Yes.
So
I hate you for that.
It's coming up quickly, like you say, quicker than most people think, but I was pretty onto it.
When you were a young Simo, did you ever write a Christmas list and send it away to Santa?
Ah, little Simo.
Yes. Well, I mean, do you do that now as well?
Big Simo, not so much.
Big Simo, type it out.
No, not so much. No, if I was going to do it now, cursive for sure. You don't do something. You don't write. Do people write wedding invitations in? Nah, no one types them up.
Well, yeah, they do, don't they?
Nah, you've got to have some kind of fancy font.
Well, let's face it, no one's going to a wedding at the moment, are they? So don't have to worry about that.
If you are
going
to do a list, you need to make sure that it's handwritten, done with love, and with, you know, a certain kind of determination and input that you wouldn't necessarily just type to your friends on your phone.
Well, Simo, the list that has caught my attention is a Christmas list of a 10-year-old. The parent of the 10-year-old child took a picture of it, put it on social media, and it has gone viral. This is a list of what a 10-year-old girl wants for Christmas.
Okay.
Let me know if you think maybe she's asking for a bit too much.
Okay, is there a horse involved?
No, I will go through the list, but before we do, I can say it is handwritten.
Yep.
And she's even drawn some love hearts on it as well.
There we go. See, she knows what it's all about.
So she has written this list and is going to send it off to Santa for Christmas. She wants all of these items.
Yeah.
Number one, a new iPhone.
Nice. All right. Yep.
Number two, AirPods. Number three, a new MacBook. So she's got to go through the Apple catalog.
Very a lot of technology.
Item number four, a real bunny.
Which kind of says she's got a fake one.
Item number five, a hydro flash. I don't even know what that is.
Interesting. I'll check.
Item number six, I think we're up to, pink Pumas. Item number seven.
Those are shoes.
Yeah. Item number seven, Gucci shoes. This is a 10-year-old.
Right.
Item number eight, Chanel perfume.
Oh, at 10 years of age.
10 years of age. Wow. Perhaps now we're getting into the part of the list where you think, okay, this is a bit over the top.
So she's got opinions. Is it Hydro Flash or Hydro Flask?
Hydro Flash.
Okay, got nothing for you.
No, because I know a flask would be what you have your coffee in, but
sure? It's handwritten.
Yeah, it could be flask, actually. Yeah, we'll go with that. Mm. Also on this list. So she's already requested pink Pumas and Gucci shoes.
Well, Billie Eilish has got I think that's where that comes from. Mm.
And then another, she's also wanting just new shoes in general.
All right.
So she's already got two types of shoes she wants and new shoes. And then the item below new shoes is checkered Vans.
You can't wear
Which are shoes.
You can't wear them all at once.
What else? We've got GoPros on this list, earrings on this list, a pink duck.
Okay.
I don't know why. She wants clothes for the bunny as well.
Oh, yeah.
An alarm clock. And then the final item on the list is the one that I reckon is the funniest.
All right, what do we got?
The final item, she wants $4,000.
Whoa.
Why 4,000? Such a weird number.
I guess, yeah, she's got something in mind there.
I know. That's the 4,000. So she just doesn't know. She's done this. It goes on for like two pages, this list. There's more stuff. We'll be here all day if we read it all. But she's gone out for two pages. So she's written this entire list, doesn't know what else to do. So, yeah, $4,000, that should just about cover everything else that I want.
It's concerning as a parent.
Yeah.
Like, why $4,000?
Wait, are you planning a trip to Bali or something without me? What are you planning?
What's the $4,000 for, kiddo?
I don't know. We'll need to do some background checks there.
At 10 years of age, I don't think any of that stuff would be on my Christmas list. Really? Realistically?
Well, that's what you're going wrong in life.
Yeah. I didn't have a phone until... What age did you get a phone?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I reckon I would have been 16, 17, somewhere there.
I don't think I was that old. I think maybe 12 or something. I did request $4,000, though.
Skipped over that fact that you got a phone at 12 years of age.
Yeah.
That is young, isn't it?
I think that's... This 10-year-old wants a new iPhone.
A new iPhone.
So. I know. And then one of the modern ones. My first phone, it was like a Nokia. It still had an antenna.
So she's... that means she's already got a phone.
Yeah.
And it does put into perspective, there is nothing more frightening out there than if you walk through a restaurant and sitting in a high chair is a baby with an iPhone. It's one of the most frightening things out there.
Do you know what's even more frightening than that?
What?
If that baby just casually has $4,000 as well.
Simo and Jordan.
Simo, it is that time of year where year 12s are doing their exams.
Oh, yes.
In school?
Year 12s only, or is it uni kids as well?
Potentially uni as well, now you mention it, okay. But... And I think it's all I've been seeing on the news is year 12s.
Uni ones are harder, though. Yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, by logic, kind of yes.
You'd assume so.
You'd assume so if you think about it.
I did all right. I think I managed to scrape through these year 12 ones, especially the psychology exam. Tip my hats to the kids if they can get through that one.
Scraping through is a very good way to describe my year 12 results as well.
Rocking up. Well done, Jordan.
I was there.
Oh, you were there?
I was there on time.
Okay, nice.
But no, Simo, there is a year 12 exam question. It's in one of the maths exams, which has already been and gone.
You and I wouldn't have been in that class.
I know, yeah, I dropped maths in year 10.
We're outside kicking a football when that exam's on.
Yeah, me and you, not good at maths.
Not there.
But it is kind of doing the rounds on social media. Obviously, this exam has been. in. So all the students have gone and done this particular maths exam, and then they've taken to social media after the exam to kind of talk about this question because it's a bit bizarre. And it's a bit kind of, they're trying to work out the answer, and it's one of those ones that kind of everyone's got sort of a different answer to it and everyone thinks they're right sort of thing. And if you do it this way, it comes up with this answer, but if you do it this way, it comes up with this answer. That makes sense?
In maths.
Yeah.
In subjective answers in maths.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Did you? Yeah, no, that's one. I hated that about maths.
To me, it just sounds like they've all failed, really.
I mean,
no one got the right answer.
Well, hopefully you didn't. Hopefully at least one of you.
There's one person that got the
right. One bloke that just wrote 22 and just hoped that that's the right answer.
Yeah.
Well, Simba, I got the question for you here. So this is in the year 12 exam for this year.
Hold up.
Do you want to see if you can do it?
Yes, let's set the stage.
Do you have, you've got your pen over there. I'll give you some little paper so you can do scribble notes.
All right.
You must show you're working out as well.
I'm with you.
Which is something that I hated with maths because I used to just do trial and error and hope for the best. Simo, the exam question features a box plot of temperature data.
All right, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out as well.
I'm done.
Don't even know what that is.
Thank you.
But you know, it involves a box plot of temperature data with students undertaking the test asked to calculate. So this is the question. Calculate the number of chirps made by crickets expected at 15-second intervals when the temperature outside is 19 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, and that's in a maths exam.
Yes.
There's a bit of biology, isn't there?
I know. If you were doing study of crickets, I would understand that question being in the exam.
Environmental science. But in the question, did they state anything about how often the crickets would chirp, or was it just a pure guess?
No, so you have to calculate the chirps made by the cricket in 15-second intervals, and that box plot temperature graph kind of gives you sort of what temperature, how many chirps per minute crickets do,
right, okay.
And you've got to try and, depending on the temperature, and you've got to try and work it out that way.
So have you got the answer?
Well, the thing is...
I'm interested now.
Well, because it's an exam, like the only people that know the answer are the examiners, and obviously they have to get all the exams back and mark it, and that is how we'll find out the answer.
No one knows yet.
Well, no one knows. I was kind of scrolling through all the Twitter replies, and the number 7 kind of kept popping up a lot. So by process of the majority of people are saying 7, I'm going to go with that. It could be completely wrong.
7's a lucky number after all.
Maybe that's why. They're just looking at the paper going, I've got no idea. Oh, fingers crossed, lucky number, I guess. God, you'd be spewing if it's 13.
Yeah, damn it.
Oh, examiners are evil.
Also, I didn't know that crickets, that the chirping frequency changes with the temperature.
Apparently it does.
They get more talkative when it's hot, you see. They're a bit looser. They're a little bit more. It's like hanging out by the tub when it's warm
or
outside.
Or when it's warmer. All the crickets are there just with a beer in hand. Just, oh, Dave, stop chirping, mate. You've had too many. Go home.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Barley Party, we always give that one a bit of a spin when Ash Barty wins in the tennis.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been keeping up to date.
I'm right off the Barty Party, by the way.
Why?
Because she's a Tigers supporter.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So for those that are unaware, Ash Barty supports Richmond Tigers in the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
The grand final was over the weekend where Richmond Tigers beat Simo's team.
That's right.
The Geelong Cats.
And she was actually, I think she, not the mascot, she was the ambassador on the day.
Yeah, no, she was the one who presented the trophy at the end of the match.
Disgusting.
To Richmond.
Disgusting.
With the news that you're off, Ash Barty, I'm 100% on.
Well, I'm not surprised. So black and yellow as Richmond are, from one black and yellow thing to the next, Vegemite and cheese.
Okay.
Ash Barty, has now not only the ambassador for Richmond, she is the ambassador for Vegemite.
I was going to say, I remember her playing tennis. She's got like a little Vegemite logo on her dress, I think. Is that the right word for what they wear when they play tennis?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
As opposed to just shirt?
It's shirt or dress. Yeah. I don't know which one it is.
It depends if it's a whole thing or not. But she is obviously, it's branding, Jordan, because she's a happy little Vegemite, isn't she, on the court?
And Vegemite are probably paying her a lot of money.
That too.
That would make her happy.
But I don't know if you could pay Ash Barty enough money in the world to endorse Vegemite's new product. Have you seen this?
You could probably pay her a lot of money to endorse it. have you not seen celebs?
So she has been photographed. There she is, Jordan.
Okay. She is out, that looks like Sydney Harbour or something like that. Again, she's wearing her Vegemite yellow shirt. And she's holding what appears to be Vegemite, but in like a squeezy, what tomato sauce would come in.
That's right.
Like a squeezy bottle.
All new squeezy Vegemite.
Is that a thing?
It is a thing now.
Is it Is it still the same Vegemite? You still squeeze it on your toast, or is it meant for some other reason?
I'm super concerned about it. I haven't tried it yet, but the fact it's now in rotation and out there and available, it's more so than in a sauce bottle. It does remind me of a toothpaste tube.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Don't brush your teeth with Vegemite.
No, there's a lot of salt in there.
Yeah.
A lot of salt.
But it's still the same, it's still the same product. It's just the container which is different.
Yeah, now the fact instead of spreading it, you now ooze and spread
you
it.
You now kind of smear it.
No one wants to smear or ooze. They're not fun words.
You know what I would love? If they could somehow make Vegemite, you know, champagne kind of sprays everywhere? You see, watch at the end of Formula One races, all the races, they get up at the podium and spray the champagne everywhere. I would love if they could somehow make Vegemite like that. So you wake up in the morning, you do your toast, grab the Vegemite, and it just comes in this massive glass bottle, and all of a sudden you start spraying it everywhere, and about 1% of it goes on your toast.
Around Jordan's place on a Friday night, you're there to
just cranking out the Vegemite.
You're there to pop champagne corks.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, check this out. I've carbonated Vegemite. Check it out. Jordan, how did you? Don't ask questions.
Yeah, best not to ask.
So you don't mind it? You don't mind the squeezy Vegemite alternative?
Well, Simo, I've got to be honest. I do mind it. Okay, but that's probably because I don't like Vegemite, whether it comes out of a jar or a squeezy tube. But, I mean, it's just the packaging. It doesn't matter.
What you're saying is you're un-Australian, really.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that you hate Australia.
Look, I mean, I feel you're putting words in my mouth there.
Hey, it's the Australian...
Maybe you should stop doing that and put some Vegemite in your mouth.
I'm a big fan, actually, because I have pride in my country.
Okay, mate. Yeah. I'm just going over here at the champagne factory trying to work out how we can make that happen.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.